Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, if you will, look at verse 7. There's so much more we could read there. I hope you do a daily Bible study. You really grow when you do. Galatians chapter 5. Read this whole chapter this week at home, if you will. And look at verse 7, chapter 5 and verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. He said, you did run well. What happened? What happened? Who hindered you? He said, it wasn't the one that called you. That's not the one hindering you. And tonight I'd just like to talk to you for just a few minutes, if I could, on some ways that people walk away from the faith. Now, I'm not saying walk away from the Lord. I don't think you can do that. I don't think He'll let you. But there's some ways that people do get out of the will of God. And we say that they didn't. Look, some people say they lost their faith. I say, no, you walked away from it. You didn't lose it. You know where you left it. It's still there. But they didn't lose their salvation. They just got out of the will of God, walked away from what they knew they ought to do. And I'm going to show you a couple reasons that people walk away, and a lot of them do it. They come and they go. They come and they go. And I was licensed to preach in 81 or 82. And I've seen a lot of people come and go since 1982. Now, I was saved in 78. I didn't notice much before I started preaching. But then after you start preaching, and then in 83 I was ordained, so then after you become a pastor, you really notice it then. And a lot of times you folks will sit around here and you won't miss somebody for 2 or 3 months, and then you'll come to me and you'll say, what happened to old so-and-so? And I can't tell you. You'd have to talk to them about that. But I can tell you some ways that some people do walk away. And so tonight I just want to talk to you for just a little bit. You can't really count on these people. They go what? Back probably to what's really in their heart. What's really in their heart. And so, number one, I thought about this. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, if you will. Turn to 2nd, not 1st. I'm going to go to 1st in a minute. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you will. Look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, for except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, of course, he's talking about the second coming of Christ and a great many people falling away from the Lord. But in particular, notice the first part, let no man deceive you by any means, because there's a great many that will fall away. In other words, I'm telling you this. Don't think you can't. Don't think that you won't. It's just the grace of God that you stay close to God. Now, there's some things I'm going to show you in a minute to help you do that. But there is a great falling away in the day that we live in. Think about it. I'm 63 years old. I know I look 53. But I'm 63 years old. And I remember growing up, and most everybody at least went to church. Now, I didn't. But most everybody did. I'd say 10% of the population did not go to church. And we were if we'd been honest, we was ashamed of it then. Because wasn't much reason not to go. There was nowhere to go but church. Everything else was closed. The stores were closed. The liquor store was closed. The grocery store was closed. You might find a drugstore open. You might find a gas station open. A lot of times you wouldn't. Y'all remember that? Now you take that and you compare that to today, and can you not agree with me? There's been a great fall in a way. Because I'd say the situation's been reversed. There's about 10% of people that are faithful to church. Amen? There's been a great falling away. Now, don't think you won't. It's just the grace of God you have it. But what I'm saying is this. Number one, there's a lot of folks that have fallen away because they have fallen into that big crowd of people called the world. Amen? They've fallen back into the world. Number two, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And if you don't have time, write these things down and look them up later. I've got to move. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 10, if you will. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, it didn't say money. It's the love of money. It's the root of all evil, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In other words, they begin to love something other than the Lord, and it's caused them a lot of trouble. In this case, it's money. See that? So, a lot of people fall because they have erred from the truth. He said that. They're saved, but they're deceived, and they're following something or someone else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two came to my door today, Jehovah's Witness. And if you'll talk to Jehovah's Witness Mormons, you'll see every time, if you'll get personal with them, you'll find out that one of them grew up in the cult, and that's what both those are, cults. One of them grew up in the cult, usually the older one, and one of them is always a convert to the cult, usually the younger one. If you'll talk to them, you'll see that. So that's an example right there. The younger one, who, if you'll ask them, they usually grew up in church. It was usually some kind of more liberal type church, you know. And they grew at least they grew up in some kind of church. And if you'll get to talking to them, you'll find out they've heard the gospel and they've rejected it before, because sometimes even the liberals slip it out, you know, the gospel at least. And so you'll find out that they were raised in a Christian home. They went to church when they were younger. And now they've erred from the truth. They've erred from the truth. Now, in that particular verse, he's talking about money. Now, money can do that. Today, the day that we live in, I believe money is the number one factor. Possessions, money, riches. I think that's the number one factor of getting people out of the will of God. Now, y'all say whatever you want to. I never would. Now, my personal convictions, you do what you want to, but the Bible taught me, and my personal convictions, I never had a job that worked on Sunday. Duke Power tried to make me work on Sunday, and I quit Duke Power over. Now, y'all do what you want to. That's between you and the Lord. But I seen a lot of them fall because of it. One of them stood there at Duke Power, and there were about five or six, and they started talking about working on Sunday, and one of the boys who went to church all the time, he finally said, I don't care what my pastor says, he don't have to pay my house payment, he don't have to pay for that boat, and he don't have to pay for those two cars. And I thought to myself, you're going to work, because those things are more important than the Lord and going to church. The love of money. Man, it got quiet on that. Y'all liked it when I was talking about cussing and drinking liquor. Listen, I'm telling you, the day that we live in, there are a lot of things that are drawing you away from the Lord. Possessions, wealth, money, positions, popularity, and cults and false teachings. Sometimes I talk to people, they say, well, I listen to the shepherd of the whatever on that cable television thing. What's his name? Shepherd's Chapel. He said, they'll tell me, I don't have to go. And I look that guy up. He's on all kind of satellite stations. He's all over the place. And he teaches people you don't have to go to church anymore. He said, that age is past. You don't have to go to church anymore. And by the way, you don't have to tithe anymore. But he'd like if you'd send him the money. He's got all kinds of strange doctrines, UFOs and stuff. And I don't think he knows it's on there, but I found a clip on YouTube where he was recording teaching a Bible lesson. And he looked up and he said, What are you doing in here? Get out of here. I done run you all before. And he opened the drawer and pulled out a gun and chased the guy. Yeah. That's your shepherd. That's your chapel. Amen. Amen. A lot of things that draw you away. You better watch out. A lot of people falling by the wayside. Amen. Now, I'm not saying you can't get some good preachers on TV or internet and stuff, but it's not the same. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I've been in person when those great men of God preach great sermons and move me to tears and to do something and listen to the same thing or watch it on a video and it not move me, not one bit. Help me here. Now you go on, you get out of the Lord's will if you want to, and you quit church, and you, hey you quit, go out to the ocean. Well, I can worship God on the lake. Now you worship in the lake. That's your problem. Amen. Or catfish. Amen. They had one of them in the Bible too. His name was Moloch. He had a fish head. Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, y'all don't even know that. I need to teach y'all the Bible better. But they'll err from the faith. And then Matthew 24:12. Matthew 24:12. Am I going fast enough? Matthew 24:12. I'm trying to get you right here. These kids have to go to school. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound. Do you know what that means, abound? A lot of it. Nasty, filthy living. A lot of it. The love of many shall wax cold. Did you know a lot of people get out of the will of God and they walk away from the will of God and they walk away from local church and walk away from Sunday school class and walk away from preaching or teaching or whatever they do in the church because their love for Christ has gone cold. Now most of y'all in here are married. I can tell by looking at you, look tired. Most of you in here are married, and the ones that aren't, some of you have been. And you know good as I do that you have to, your love for your spouse will go cold if you don't work on it sometimes. So that's the problem with most men. They just assume, and they call her things like the old lady. You call my wife the old lady, she'd probably slap you. They just assume she's going to be there. And it's the other way around. Wives, sometimes they just assume the old man, don't call me the old man. They just assume the old man's going to be there and they don't work on it and the love gets cold. And then some old Jezebel, some old heathen comes along, you know. And it's the same way with the love of Christ. We have to work on it. And if you separate yourself from everything and everybody that keeps you hot in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, your love will get cold. Even though you're on your way to heaven, your love will still get cold. That's why I tell people, you ought not go to those churches where they give book reports. You need a little fire. You need some emotion. You need some laughter. You need some tears in it. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? And boy, I went to many revivals and thought, man, I'm going to get my truck loaded tonight. Woo! And go in there and it'd be just as dead as a fish been laying on the bank 2 or 3 days. It already stinketh. I mean, it wasn't the sermon wasn't no good. The singing wasn't no good. The people was unfriendly and all this stuff. And it was cold. And that's when those people will start getting out of the will of God when it gets like that. Amen? Amen. It got around preachers one time in town. Said, Brother Ron, he don't preach. He tells stories. I said, you go back and tell them I got my example from the Bible. Jesus told a story about a woman that lost a coin and a story about a pearl of great price and a story about a man that died and went to heaven. The other one went to hell. And I said, that's how Jesus preached. He told stories. Amen? Amen. You keep that love. Look, you got to keep it hot. And you can't do it if you separate. People say, well, we're going to try trial separation. You're headed for the end. Amen. I better get off that. Some of y'all are nervous as a long-tailed cat in a rocking chair factory. Hebrews 10:25, he said, forsake not the assembling ourselves together. As the manner of some is. Now, some people's habit is not to go, not to assemble. And he said, even so much the more so as you see that day approaching. Now, you say whatever you want to, and I know you can go to heaven and not go to church, but you can't stay in the will of God and stay on fire for God and stay in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and not go to church. I don't care what you say. I couldn't. I read the Bible every day, a lot. I study a lot. I listen to preaching all the time. And I know if I got out of church, I'd get cold. Amen? You better stay in church. I'd find me an old-fashioned barn storming, window rattling, shingle-pulling preacher and some old-fashioned singing and hymns. Boy, you better stay in church. But a lot of them leaving the church. They say, well, we're going to have house church. What that means is we're too lazy to get up and go to church, so we're just going to stay home today. Or that means we can't get along with nobody else, so we're just going to stay down here. That's probably what it is right there. We can't get along with nobody else, so we're just going to have church at the house. It won't last. It won't last. You'll do it a couple times, but it won't last. Now, if you lived in North Dakota and the snow was 6 foot deep, that's one thing. But you live in South Carolina and there's hardly enough snow to call it frost around here. Amen? You couldn't keep Brother Jeffrey at home when it snowed. He'd be ashamed to stay at home no more snow than we have. I preached one time a sermon, don't listen to the weatherman. They were wrong most of the time. And they had predicted 4 inches of snow. While I was preaching, it snowed 4 inches. We had to push people out of the parking lot. Had to push them up the hill to get them out of the parking lot. We could hear it hitting the roof, but they sat there because who was going to move when I was preaching that? Had a house full and the snow was predicted and they still came. Amen. But they had a good time. And a lot of people get out of church and they think, well, I'll be all right. But you know, it's hard to find another church. And when you find one, it's hard to feel at home there. And you keep going. And I'm going to, hey, most of you know, not everybody's friendly as this crowd is. I tell people, this is the easiest place you'll ever get saved right here. These people want you to get saved. They're not trying to figure out why you ain't saved. Hey, they're just praying you will get saved. They're not judging you. And it's hard to find a church like that. It's hard to find a church now, Brother Ron, where the pastor is not a professional. A professional businessman. Trying to figure out how to draw more money. Draw bigger crowds, draw more money to build bigger buildings so his name can be in light somewhere. I'm a preacher, I can say that. It's hard to find one. Amen? So, a lot of them get out of church. They leave church, and then they get out of the will of God. Look at 18:19. It says, Jesus is talking just for the saving time. He's talking to his disciples. He said, will I find any faith when I come back? Look at it. I'll turn over. Luke 18:19. He says, will he find any faith? I didn't mark it, so it's going to take me a second. Luke 18. Look at verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Some people walk away because of lack of faith. They did not get into the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Let me go ahead and tell you something. You can't be a good Christian, just live on two or three sermons a week. You better read the Bible. Amen? You better read the Bible. He says there's going to be so little faith when he comes back, it's almost going to look like nobody has any faith. It shocks you how many Christians don't read the Bible. I got a little book right here for the ladies. My wife found a little devotional. And I'm not against these. It'll have one verse or two verses, you know, and then the writer will say something sweet or something, you know. And sometimes they say encouraging things. I'm going to give that to my daughter, by the way. There's some good stuff in there. But that don't replace reading your Bible. That don't replace reading. Watching a TV preacher does not replace reading your Bible. I'm going to shock you a little bit more. Coming in church doesn't replace reading your Bible. You better read it. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, then more Word of God gives what? More faith. And more Word of God gives more faith. And more Word. So you can't read too much. You say, I don't understand it. It's shocking how much you will understand if you start reading it. And a lot of times, while you're reading it, you don't understand it. Here, look, don't go getting a bunch of commentaries and all that stuff. Just keep reading. Probably about two or three verses down or a chapter away, you'll read something, you'll say, oh, that's what that was talking about over there. But you won't know that if you don't read. Read the Bible. Study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needs not be ashamed. Rightly divide in the word of truth. The reason a lot of people walk away is because they're deceived in the air, because they don't read the Bible and they don't have the faith they ought to, because they don't know what the Bible says. You can be easily deceived and led astray. And a lot of people are. They'll say, well, I used to be a Baptist. I said, well, how do you ever not be a Baptist? I mean, how do you not be a Baptist? You believe the Bible's Word of God. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believed His virgin birth, His sinless life, His dying in your place. He rose from the dead the third day. He's up in heaven making intercession for you. He's coming back in all His glory. And you got dunked under the water. That makes you a Baptist. How do you not be a Baptist? Well, I used to be a Christian. I'm not anymore. How do you unbelieve something? How do you unbelieve on Christ? One day I put all my faith on Him and nothing else. Now, how do I undo that? You can't undo that. And so a lot of people, they lack faith, so they walk away. And then some, I'm not going to go there and run out of time, but 2 Timothy 4:2, he says that they, in those last days, that they won't endure sound doctrine. And I know people mean well, and I've got a friend that says this, and I wish he wouldn't say it. And I tried to teach him better, but he won't listen to me because I ain't nobody, you know. He says, I don't preach doctrine. I said, do you preach the Bible? He said, yeah. I said, do you believe the Bible's Word of God? He said, yeah. I said, that's doctrine. I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He said, yeah. I said, that's doctrine. I said, do you believe He saved sinners? Yeah, that's doctrine. I said, how can you preach the Bible and not preach doctrine? But the day we're living in, they're walking away from sound doctrine. See, they only want to get about that deep in the faith. That's all they want. A lot of people don't only want about that much faith, because if you start teaching them doctrine, then they're going to know more about God. And if they know more about God, they're afraid they'll be more accountable on their day of judgment. They don't want to know it. They think ignorance is bliss. But not knowing the law does not free you from the law. You're still going to be accountable. Brother Rick, when was the last time you got pulled over? Tell the truth. Don't lie. You're in church. 4 or 5 years. And the highway patrolman, he come walking up there beside you. They always walk up there beside you now. He said, can I see your driver's license? You hand him your driver's, he's writing stuff out. He said, you know what I pulled you up for? What'd you tell him? Probably. Son, you was doing 85 miles an hour, speeding at 55, probably speeding. I shouldn't have picked you. Have you ever had one pull you over and you said, I didn't see a sign that told me how fast to go? Did you say that? And what did he say? And even if it wasn't, it's still a law. You go 45 in a residential. I mean, rule, you go 35 in a residential. You go 55 or more on the highway, right? You don't have to see a sign, right? Did you know when you stand before a holy God, you're not going to be able to say, well, I didn't know nothing about doctrine. My preacher only preached Jesus. God's going to say, you might not know him, but you're supposed to know. And you are accountable. Well, I didn't know drunkenness was a sin. My preacher just preached Jesus. Well, I didn't know homosexuality was a sin. My preacher just preached Jesus. Well, your preacher's got a lot to answer for, too. Amen? And a lot of people get out of the will of God and they get out of the way because they won't endure sound doctrine. And when the preacher gets up and says, you folks need to put some clothes on, they get mad and run off because nakedness is a sin. We know that. And when the preacher gets up and says, you need to quit running around with that crowd down there at the bar. I don't care if you say you're a pastor. You need to come out from among them, be you separate. They get mad and they leave. That's sound doctrine. And they don't want to endure that, see. They don't want to endure that. And it is enduring to have to sit there and get pointed at. And you got to say, oh me. Amen. Sometimes you got to say, oh me, you're enduring it, and it's sound doctrine, and you're going to say, he's right, I'm wrong, I'm not getting out of church because of this, I'm not getting out of the will of God because of this, I don't care if I am mad at the preacher for preaching it, it's me that's wrong, not him, not the Bible, not God, I'm not getting out of the will of God, I'll have to change. Well, I didn't know that was in there. Thank you, Lord, I don't have but one line right there, I don't know how I got all that out of there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 5. Look at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 5. I'm saying, I'm telling some ways that people walk away from the faith. They walk away from the will of God. They walk away from church. 1 Thessalonians 5 5. But ye, brethren, would you agree with me? He's talking to Christians. He called them brethren. By the way, it wouldn't hurt us to say that more, brother and sister around here. That day should overtake you as a thief. Now, some won't endure sound doctrine, and some will just grow tired. He said, now I don't want it to overtake you. You know what that means? They weren't looking. They weren't aware. They'd got tired of the battle. They had quit looking for the coming of the Lord. And it's going to overtake them unexpectedly. And sometimes people get out of the will of God, they get away from the faith, they get out of church, not only because they won't endure sound doctrine, but because they grow tired of watching for Him to come and deliver them. I don't care what Joel Osteen said. The Christian life's hard sometimes. I preached on the gifts of the Spirit. I've got the Lord, the joy, the love, the peace, and all those things. Those are wonderful benefits. But I've still got heartaches, and I've still got trials, and I've still got disappointments, and I've still got all kinds of things in this world just like everybody else. Sometimes sickness, sometimes death. And I wish He'd come on. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Sometimes people say, well, I wouldn't say that if I was you. Oh, yeah, come quickly, right now. But I got people that ain't saved. I do too. But that's between them and God. I'm ready to get out of here. I get tired. I get tired of being disappointed. I get tired of watching for Him to come. So the world, when you get tired of looking, then the world gets their attention. There's two things going on right now at the same time, and I just found out today, and when I found out, I turned on YouTube and watched some videos. There's two things I'd heard of them, but I'd never really seen anything about it. One of them is a Muslim holy day, and I can't even pronounce it the way they do, but sometime in your life as a Muslim, you got to make one trip to Mecca. At least one. And I got this big old black building sitting in a big old giant building in a square, and a million people can fit around that building. And this week, that building is where Muhammad claimed that God sent him a black rock out of heaven. and they've studied, found out the meteorite. And these people, they've got it as the cornerstone of this building. Jesus is my cornerstone. Not a, my rock didn't fall out of heaven. He came down. When the fullness of time was done, He came down. Amen. He didn't fall down. He came down. And so they got it as the cornerstone. And the greatest experience a Muslim can have is to go to that thing, march around it, and get close enough to it to kiss it. And they beat themselves, and they cry, and they pray, hoping they'll get to go to heaven. And then the other one, this thing out west, it's in the desert, somewhere called the Burning Man thing. It's pagans. They got there and run around naked or half naked, and it's music and drugs, and they build stuff out there in the desert. And then the grand finale is they got this big giant man built up there about 10 stories high, and they set him on fire. About a million people, heathens, I'm talking about heathens, man. Weirdos, weird, wild people. And they light that thing up, and that's the climax of their week, and they dance around it, it's worship. They wouldn't say it was, but it is. Now you got two extremes, the heathens and the pagans, all the way over to the religious crowd. And it gets worse every day. And I get tired of watching it. But if you don't watch out, you'll be like a moth to the flame, and that stuff will look good to you because you're out of the will of God, and you're out of the Word of God, and you're out of the way, and you're out of church, and that stuff will draw your old flesh, because the flesh loves religion and the flesh loves the flesh too. So you can go either way and be wrong. Boy, ain't the devil smart that he would do that. Two different extremes. And they get tired, and the world gets their attention. False religion gets their attention. Or it may be their self gets their attention. Now this thing right here is your enemy. It ain't your friend. This thing right here is your enemy. It cries out. It screams. It hollers for what it wants. And if your attention is not on the Word of God, the will of God, the way of God, and serving God, you're going to serve this thing right here. You're going to serve that right there. And there's always all kind of ways you can do it. I mean, sexual, drugs, alcohol. And I was thinking the other day, everywhere you go now, they got these little old scooters. You got to ride around the store. There's some people eating themselves to death. Drinking themselves to death. Smoking themselves to death. Drugging themselves to death. Are y'all still with me? And if you get out of the will of God, the way of God, and the purpose of God in your life, and quit serving God, these other things will get your attention. And it may be that old flesh. I think I'm probably going to outlive every one of my brothers and sisters because at some time in their life, they were so in their flesh that it ruined their health. Y'all still with me? We got to be careful. Then what happens to them, preacher? What happens to them? They fall away. They went the way of error. Their love for Christ got cold. They forsake assembling. They lack of faith. They didn't get into the Word. They won't endure sound doctrine. They grow tired looking for the Lord to come back. They've been attracted by something else. Then what happens? Well, number one, I want you to know this. Saved people never go to hell. Saved people never go to hell. If they did, then the Word wouldn't be any good. Saved. You're saved. You have eternal life. He, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's how you got saved. You can't get away from that. So what happens to these people who are saved, and now they've got out of the will of God? Well, then we get to Hebrews chapter 12. And I don't have time, I'm out of time, but the Bible says that you had earthly fathers, that they chastened you for their own pleasure. You made a man, they beat the devil out of you, and they enjoyed doing it. Sometimes I see little kids in the store. I'm not their daddy. But if I was, I'd do some chastening. I I'd like to pick them up and show them what a whipping is. They ain't never had one. Probably their mom and daddy too. But says your earthly father, if he loved you, he chastened you. If he didn't love you, he didn't chasten you. He said, and putting it in South Carolina English, he said, don't you think your heavenly father will do so much to more son? He said, and he chastens every son him he receiveth. If you got saved, you're a son of God, a child of God, and he whips every one of his children. There's none that he doesn't whip. And if you've been saved over a few weeks, you probably done had some kind of little old spanking already. If you've been saved over a few years, you probably had some tremendous whippings. I know I am. And he still uses some big stuff. He don't... Now, that's right. Now, you get out of the will of God, you get out of the way of God, you get out of the Word of God, you get out of serving God, you get out of church, you try to walk away, he'll let you get into all these other things, but sooner or later, hey, time to come home. And he'll come down there and get you. He'll come get you. I remember one time we took a bunch of kids to a youth rally up in Marion, North Carolina. A new man across the street was a pool run. And I got to miss a couple boys. Somebody said, they're over at the pool run. They said, you ain't going to go over there, are you? I said, I brought them up here. I'm going to take them home. I'm going to get them. And I went in there in front of all those other people, and I said, you and you, get out. And God will come down there where you at. You can walk away if you want to. But he'll come down there and he'll say, you, get out. Me and you've got some work to do. Take you home and tear you up. Now, if they can walk away without that, they never were saved in the first place. Well, I was saved, but I lost it. You didn't find it. How could you lose it? It was a gift of God, and God don't take the gift back. You might lay it down, try to walk away from it. He says, no, we made a contract. We got a covenant. You ain't breaking my covenant. No, sir, I'll beat the devil out of you. Amen. Go ahead and try to walk away. There have been many that walked away and came back weeping and crying, saying, I wish I'd never left. I wish I'd never got out of the will of God. I wish I'd never tried that again. I'm going to stay away from that. I learned something that time. I won't do that again. Amen. Because God's faithful. He said in 1 Peter 1:5, we who are kept by the power of God. Can I read that again? We who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Listen to this. Ready to be revealed in the last time. You know what he's saying? In the last time, God's going to show us who really was and who really wasn't His. Amen. Because He's going to kept every one of His. And there are a lot of people say they're Christians. They ain't no more Christian than they are Mormon or Jehovah's Witness. You can see them a lot of times in the paper. It says they were of the Baptist faith, but they ain't even having a funeral. There's no preacher's name down there. There's no church name down there. They loved their dog and their motorcycle, and they were of the Baptist faith. We'll see in the end whether they had the faith or not. Because some people walk away. And just let me go ahead and tell you this. If you can, and God doesn't come after you, I'd check up and see if you ever got saved in the first place. Just because you prayed don't make you saved. Just because you got baptized doesn't make you saved. Just because you joined church doesn't make you saved. Just because you quit drinking liquor doesn't make you saved. I'd check to see if I ever had faith in the first place if I could walk away from it. Because I doubt you did. Because the minute you walk away, the Holy Spirit starts on you. That's how some people do it, though. I hope you're not in any of those groups tonight. I hope nobody you love is in any of those groups. But I can tell you this, a year from now or two, we'll see if they really walked away or if they never walked in the first place. So I hope tonight you got it settled. I hope you got it settled in your heart that you are a child of God. You've been born again. You've trusted Christ and nothing else. You're going to go to heaven. And then I want you to make up your mind. We sing that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Because you're not getting out of this until you get to heaven. And it's going to be a whole lot easier life if you'll just go ahead and surrender all. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for